Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I am grateful again to have you tuning in to this beautiful, awesome broadcast, that it has been such a delight for us to bring you this broadcast every single week, that you be filled with the Word of God and be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and to share this broadcast, not only just the broadcast, but share God's Word with others and encourage the brethren and the sisters in Christ Jesus to continue to press in as we continue to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ through this broadcast. So thank you again for being a part of this broadcast. And we just want to continue to get right to the lesson. Are you following up with those you led to Christ? Discipleship is a part of catching and cleaning the fish. Jesus put it beautifully, "I will make you fishers of men." Pastor Gerald Jones challenged you with this last broadcast. Leading the lost to Christ is easy and enjoyable when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, who loves and leads you to the harvest. Luke 10, verse 2, nicely, "The harvest is plenty, the workers are few." Pray. Pastor Jones, let's just get right to the lesson. I'm super excited, and I'm so hungry to hear what you have for us today concerning a wise witness. So thank you, and let's just get started.
Well, I'm excited about being here also, and to begin this broadcast, I just want to start out in a word of prayer before we get going in the conversation and communication of this broadcast. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight again and to open up the Word of God and to open up our mouths to speak. We pray that the words that we say would be helpful and encouraging to everyone that hears. I ask that you would let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to begin tonight by saying it's been a great opportunity, a great privilege of mine to be here, broadcast, and to talk about being a wise witness. Our focus has been on that he that winneth souls is wise. And out of Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 30. We talked in the past about the importance of being a witness. We've shared how it is critical for us to know that in these last and these evil days, people need to allow, we that are Christians, need to allow the Holy Spirit to come through us to someone else and to introduce them to our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we talked about that to be a witness, to be qualified to be a witness, you have to have accepted Christ personally, privately, and then proclaim him publicly. We talked about there are different approaches, and we utilize the scripture to show us that there are different ways that we can approach people, either directly or indirectly. Key is being sensitive to the Holy Spirit to lead us to people, and knowing that God is at work on both sides. He's working on the heart of somebody that is not a Christian, as well as he's working on the heart of we who are Christians. And in the work, he's making it possible for us to be able to witness for him. The Word of God is the agent by which we are transformed, whether we are saved or when we think about when we were lost. It was God's Word that did the transforming. His Word is inspired. It is powerful. It is quick. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is the only eternal thing that we have. We can lose everything temporal, but if we have the Word of God, it is the very voice of God speaking to us, and it can change our life. So I encourage people every time I stand to preach to pick the Bible up and say, I read it that I might be wise. I believe it that I might be saved. And I practice it that I might be right before God. So tonight we're going to go into Matthew's and the 13th chapter, beginning at verse number 1 into verse number 8. And also I will read a portion of the comparative scriptures in Mark and Luke, Mark the 4th chapter and Luke the 8th chapter, where we see the parable of the sower and the seed. So let's just read, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Well, I'll read 9 also. Matthew's chapter number 13, beginning at verse number 1 to verse number 9. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where there had not much earth, and furtherwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 64, some 30-fold. Who has an ear to hear? Now, this passage is basically a parable, and a parable is a earthly story with a spiritual meaning. And Jesus used parables to capture the attention, the mind, and relate something that his hearers would see and they would hear and understand what he was talking about. In this case, he was speaking this to his disciples as well as to the multitude, the capturing thoughts. As we look at it in Matthew's, we see the parable begins, behold, a sower to sow. And it is as if a farmer, a person that plants seeds, is going forward to plant his seeds. And in this parable, of course, it illustrates the importance of us following up with what we sow, but mainly to sow the seed. Only when we look at this, I'm going to rush through, maybe not rush, but I'm going to go quickly to the fact that the sower in this lesson represents the witness, the person that is witnessing. The seed that he has is the word. It is the word. And the soil is the heart or the ground that that the seed is sown. And as we look at this, we can't help but to see that there are four kinds of soil, four kinds of ground that the word, the seed, falls on. And as we begin to look at this text closely, we see that the seed, first of all, falls on the wayside. Let's look at verse number four. It says, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured it up. This wayside person, the devil is always after the word of God. He's not really just after us, but the enemy is after the word of God. People will hear what you're saying when you're sharing God's word with them, but really, after they have heard the word of God, the devil comes to try to snatch it or take it away from them so that which they have heard doesn't penetrate to their heart. So they and then it says that this individual has kind of a hard heart. His heart is hard and it's not fertile, and so the seed cannot go deep into this person's life. Verse number five, some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. So sometimes you share God's word with people, and it's kind of like they get a little bit of what you're saying, but they're really not ready to accept what you're saying. So they kind of have a mindset of, well, I'm listening, but I'm really not going to take this in. I'm not going to believe what's being said to me. And I'm going to shut my mind off to that because that's not what I believe. And I don't really want this in my life right now. So we need to know that sometimes when you are talking to people, when you are witnessing to people, their hearts may be hard, and they are not going to accept this word that you're sharing with them. Don't be discouraged. I need to say this right here. Don't be discouraged when people fail to accept you or accept the word of God that you're sharing, or even accept the idea that you could concern or love them enough to want to talk to them about the Lord. They just may not be ready to receive God into their life. That's a hard thing for a Christian that is really passionate about leading people to Christ, a family member, a coworker. You're interested in them coming to know the Lord like you know the Lord, but you have to know that they just may not be ready. And so don't get so discouraged that you stop witnessing or stop sharing sharing the word of God with them or even others. There have been times I've shared God's word with people, and rather than them accepting God's word, the person in the vicinity, the person that may be right there next to them, may be more interested in God's word than the person that you're actually speaking to. So be aware of your surroundings. Sometimes you are in a position to talk to one person. That person is rejecting, but the person sitting next to that person, you know, restaurant experience, the person in the next chair may be listening to exactly what you're saying to this person, and they may be accepting when the other person may not. Have you ever had that experience, Sister Smith?
Yes.
And
yes,
tell me, just because I asked you, tell me, how did that go?
Well, at my office, when I share the word of God with one sister, and we're encouraging each other, the person that sits behind her in the office is listening because we're in cubicles, but she's listening to me talk with her concerning an experience or what the word of God may say, and I kind of elaborate on that, and she's catching with what I'm hearing, just being in the midst of our conversation. And so she will be captivated by that, and she'll turn around and ask a question. And then it becomes two talking to three. And that happened in that sense. And I just thought that was a beautiful move, or the beautiful hand of God, just bringing two and making us three. And then we're all conversating or talking about the word of God and how he uses me as the vessel to speak through in order to draw her into himself. So I thought that was a beautiful movement of God's hand.
So don't be discouraged just because the person you really intend on sharing with is not receiving. And, again, remember, the first one was a wayside heart, a wayside person, ground. It just passed, fallen, the words just passed, fall on the side, wayside. Then there's the stony place, the stony heart person. They just hard-hearted and don't even want to hear what you got to say. And then there is the worldly-hearted person. The worldly. This is the one that is being choked by the thorns. Look at verse number 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Sometimes people are so involved in the things of the world and worldly lifestyle till the environment that they hang in it are in or that they're involved in causes them not to even hear the word of God. They don't want to follow anything that the word of God is saying, because they're so involved in the world and in worldly lifestyle. And when I say the world, I mean the activities of the world. They're so involved in trying to impress people, so involved in the party life, and so involved in their work life. They're so involved in their education, that, you know, and we can get so absorbed in the things that are really, some are good, but sometimes we can get too involved in it till it actually chokes out us, chokes out the word of God from penetrating into their heart. And so, but here's the good news. It says there is good soil. Verse number 8 says, and some fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. This is just exciting. That there is not only a thorny ground and a stony ground and a wayside, but there is good ground. And this good ground is the ground where the Word of God sets in. I grew up in the country, and when they were ready to plant a seed, they would chop it up. They remove the rocks. They build the row where when they put the seed in, it wasn't going to fall on the wayside. They built it up where when the seed was placed, there was no stones or rocks to keep it from touching the soil or the earth where it would be able to grow. And they made sure that all of the weeds and thorns and things around were pulled out so that we had good ground. And when the seed was sown in the good ground and we covered it up, we watered it, then it was ready to grow. That good soil is like an understanding heart, a person that really wants to hear what thus says the Lord, what the Word of God is saying. And they are so excited about what you're saying because they understand the Bible maybe for the first time. They understand that God truly do love them. They hear you saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And for the first time, they recognize that God really loves them. And he loved them so much that in spite of what they are going through or what they've been involved in or how they've avoided the Word of God, they've avoided God, they've avoided Christian people, they haven't been to church, they've been involved in something that would keep them from feeling good about themselves. And now they hear for the first time God really loves them. And their heart is ready to receive much more from God. And at that moment, it is like the seed is touching the good understanding ground. They understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. They understand that they need to make a change in their life, and they're willing to say, I want a change. I'm tired of what I've been involved in. I'm tired of the sin that I've been committing. I'm tired of the way I've been living. And at that moment, that's when God's word starts to germinate or come alive on that heart. And that's when God began to really change. He changed my life like that. And more than sure, I know that he can change. It's expected. We should expect God's word, that seed planted on that understanding, tender heart, to change that person's life. Now, again, I want to warn you, I had an opportunity this week, and I pray that you guys and girls or ladies and gentlemen have been really praying and being sensitive to people around you, and maybe you had an opportunity this week to really share the Word of God and your conviction, your personal testimony with somebody. Maybe this week you witnessed to somebody. And if you did, I had an experience. I witnessed to a young man, but he failed to accept what I was saying. Now, I'm going to tell you, it kind of, you know, took me back to how many times that has happened in the past. And it made me realize that just like he did not accept Christ, I can look forward to the one person that will accept Christ. And I'm looking forward to that because I know when I prayed this morning, Lord, lead me to the person that is closest to hell without you, that he's going to lead me to somebody that don't know Jesus Christ and need to know him as personal Savior before the end of this day. I'm assured that I'm going to come across somebody, whether it's in a restaurant, whether it's at a grocery store, whether it's walking in the street or in my neighborhood, whether, you know, it's at work or wherever you moving around, expect somebody that is really in need to come across your path, and you'll have a chance to witness to them because their heart is fertile, is prepared to receive the word of God. The lesson in this whole passage is simply this, that there are good ground. There is good ground just like there is a thorny ground. There is good ground just like there is a stony ground. There is a good ground just like there is a wayside. There's somebody. And verse number 8, it says, and some fell upon good ground and brought forth fruit. When a seed is planted in good ground, is going to bring forward some fruit. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for somebody to be saved because of the word of God being transpired. I want to say it says threefold, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And Jesus asked the question after he got through giving this parable. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Who can take this kind of teaching in, let him hear. Because God wants you to know that it's going to come to pass, that somebody you're talking to is going to be saved. What does it take? What does it take to be an effective witness? What does it take to be able to lead your friend to Christ? What does it take for the person that maybe have did you some wrong or offended you? What will it take for you to still be able to witness to that person? I'm going to give you these 3 points. It's going to take time. The Holy Spirit, give the word of God that you're sharing with them in love, give it time. Most of the time when we're witnessing to people, we want to see it done immediately. And, of course, God can work immediately, but we still need to know that their heart may not be good ground yet. And so give it time. Just share with love the word of God and give it time. Next, when I was growing up, of course, the plant didn't grow up the very next day. I would have to work the soil. Sometimes I would give it some water, go out there and dig around it. And so you have to work. You're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to pray and be persistent. I like those 3 P's. Pray, patient, and persistent. You're going to have to work at it. And when we work at something like that, we will eventually see the fruit or the reward. It says it'll bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. Next, on the coming week, I'm going to share a little bit more about how to share the Word of God with people and give you some specific scriptures that I've used in soul winning, that I was trained and taught to use, called the Romans Road. It's some passages of scripture out of the book of Romans that we share with people and allow them to discover the truth about sin, about salvation, about the sovereignty of God changing a life, about a spiritual regeneration that takes place. I talked a little bit about it earlier when we talked about Romans 10:9-10, that if thou should confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. And we ask those questions about how can they hear, how can they believe if nobody tells them. We talked about those scriptures. So we're going to eventually go back through the Romans Road. But I've always liked to share about the four spiritual laws, the law that God loves us, the law that all of us were born with a nature to do wrong before we do right, which is sin. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I love to read in the scripture where it said, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons or the children of God. So we're going to deal with how to share the gospel or to share the plan of salvation with people that are unsaved, how to share it with people that are saved, that they could use these passages of scripture to lead and encourage people to accept Christ, whether they have a hard heart or whether they have a stony heart or they are involved in the things of the world. God's word can pull them out. His word can actually change their life. And we're going to talk about that. Sister Smith?
Yes.
I would like for you to read a passage out of the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, the fourth chapter.
Okay.
Starting at verse number one, it's a kind of lengthy passage, but I still want to kind of focus on it.
All right. Mark 4,
chapter one,
verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. And this is the NIV translation.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parable, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell along thorns, which grew up and choked the plant so that they did not bear, that they did not bear grain. Still, other seeds fell on good ground, good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9. Then Jesus said, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about that parable. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others like seed sown on rocky places hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others like seed sown on good ground, good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." You want me to continue to verse 21?
No, that's where I want you to stop right now. I just want you to see how Jesus used this parable to show how people accept the word, or if they don't accept it, what happens to them. And when we sharing with people, we must be always conscious that things are going on in people's lives. They're living in situations that they can't understand, or they want it, they're not acceptance of what's going on. But if the word of God is in their life, the word of God is what holds us when we're going through situations of, let's say, death and bereavement, when we're going through a job loss, when we're going through some kind of financial problems, or problems with our children, or if it's children, problems with their parents, if children are being faced with so many peer pressures and things that were influence of others, the word of God in their life can help them through these situations. But there has to be an acceptance of it. We can only discern some things that's going on around us when we accept God's word as the means of light in the midst of the dark situation. If there's no receiving of the word, then they're going through it with a lot of pain, in a lot of pain, because they have no light in the midst of the darkness. He says, Jesus says in verse number 18, and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. When we allow what's going on around us to overtake us, the cares of this world, the deceitful, the riches, and the lust of the things around us, then it chokes the word out, because we focus more on those things than the word of God, which is alive and it is active and is powerful enough to help us in the midst of the situation. And these are they which are sown on good ground, but such as hear the word, notice the difference, not worrying about what's going on, but you're hearing the word, which gives us the opportunity to think about this through the eyes of God. What you know, and I said this, I think, earlier in the broadcast when I first talked, what would Jesus do? Well, he always brought up the word. And even in his beginning, in the temptation in the garden, it was the word. Every time the devil came to attack him, it was the word. And the devil hasn't changed. The enemy has not changed. He still has the same attack on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. This is what the human is going through. But the devil still comes and says, if I look in Matthew, where he talks of to Jesus in the garden, if you are this, hold on, let me find it. Okay, here. The third chapter of Matthew, when he comes to tempt Jesus, and that's what's going to happen when you're getting ready to witness for the Lord. The devil is going to come and attack you. And the first thing the devil tells him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. We don't have to prove we are Christians. We just need to be the Christian. We don't have to prove we know how to win or witness to people. We need to just witness to people. And it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what we have to have is the word of God in our heart, in our head, and sometimes in our hands. You have to have the word of God and share God's word when the enemy attacks, in the midst of you witnessing or sharing Christ with somebody. Give them the word. Look at the enemy again. He'll come back again. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Again, what the enemy is doing is pointing us to our humanness and to make a decision to jump ahead of God and without the word of God. And this is why people are in trouble today, Christians and non-Christians, is because we listen to the enemy and we take steps towards doing something without God's guidance and without God's word. And Jesus goes right back and says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Putting the Lord to a test. You don't have to test God. Just trust God. Golly, that's good. It says that, and again the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and says unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou willest fall down and worship me, which is his ultimate aim. The devil wanted to get Jesus to bow down and worship him. He wants to get us to bow down and worship him. He has people that have already bow down and worshiping the things that are in this world or the devil himself. So what does Jesus do again? He tells him flat-footed. He says unto him, get thee behind me, thee, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. The devil leaded him because he has no other means to attack Jesus. He's been defeated on every hand. Three is the number of manifestation. At this third time, Jesus said, get behind me. And Satan leaded him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. When you are being attacked by the enemy, when you are being attacked by the devil, when Satan is dogging your footsteps, even when you're witnessing and are making the effort to witness to somebody, know that the devil's going to tell you if you're a Christian. But every time he puts an if, you come back with the word of God. Hit him every time with the word of God, and that will cause him to see. Now, he's going to come back some other time, but you're going to be victorious because you have the word of God. So when we are sharing, when we are witnessing to people, we need to have in our heart a word that will meet the needs of the people we are talking to. If it's about marriage, share what God says about marriage. If it's about raising children, share what God is saying about raising children. If it's about a worker, an employer, an employee relationship, talk about what God's words say about the workplace. If it's about government, talk about what. If it's about racism, talk about what God says about it. If we would just let the word of God speak to the issues and the things that we are facing, we will become victorious in our witness, witnessing wisely, not as a fool. And for tonight, I just want to pray every listener, every person that has tuned in to this broadcast, I want to pray for you. And not only pray for you, I want to pray with you. I believe that if you take the time to listen to this broadcast, God will woo you or urge you into this setting to just listen to being a wise witness. So I want to pray with you that God would make you to be the witness that he wants you and me to be. Don't be discouraged if you were praying with or praying for a witnessing to somebody and they turned aside. Know that there's a heart that is ready and prepared to receive God's word. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for allowing us to go through this broadcast tonight and to see how you gave a picture through the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil. and that how, God, you can make us to be rewarded for our efforts in sowing your word. Truly, somebody going to just let it go over their head. They're going to be a wayside person. Somebody is going to take a little bit of it, but they're going to let the enemy snatch it from them. And then somebody, Lord, is going to be caught up in the things of this world. They're caught up in their affairs. They're caught up in their lifestyle. They're caught up in the sins that they are caught up in. And we ask them by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would save them. And then, Lord, there's a good ground. Somebody that really wants to change, really wants you to let your word make a difference in their life. I pray tonight that that person would receive your word in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that their fruits would be brought forth 30, 60, 100 for the glory of God. Give us eyes to see in your word. Give us ears to continue to hear your word. Continue to give us hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I just pray that you have prayed along with us and prayed for someone that you know that may be lost, and you want them to come into knowing Jesus Christ for themselves. Continue to pray for that individual. Continue to follow up with that individual. Continue to minister to that individual, because God does not want a one to perish. He wants everyone to come to heaven. He doesn't force. He willingly allows us to choose. And that's what this ministry is about, mission from the heart. And I pray that you allow God to use you to mission from your heart to someone that may need him in the pardoning of their sins. So I just want to thank Pastor Jones for being a witness through this ministry and sharing the beauty of God's ministry through the word, and showing us how important it is for us to win souls to Christ. And, of course, that is according to Proverbs. He said the Proverbs 11, verse 30. So I would encourage you to read that. Make note of it in your Bible or on your tablet or whatever device you use. Proverbs 11, verse 30 is a beautiful verse to remember how soul winning is wise. So, again, thank you. Again, Pastor Jones, and I know Pastor Jones has a time commitment, and we are going to meet at this place again on next week, and as he said, how to share the plan of salvation. And do you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, we struggle in doing that. We struggle with approach. We struggle with what to say, and I encourage you to listen to the previous broadcast of A Wise Witness with Pastor Jones, and get it in your heart, soul, and mind, in your spirit, on how to be a wise witness. And Pastor Jones did a beautiful job in bringing us these sweet nuggets on how to be a wise witness. And I just encourage you to take the challenge that he made mention of last week, and for you to step out on faith and allow God to use you in such a beautiful way to where a soul could come to know him through you, because you opened your heart, you opened your mouth, and you extended the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell them your story. Let them know how you became into the fellowship and became a Christ follower. Let them know your story. That is a beautiful way for people to receive Jesus and, of course, seeing your tender heart, your loving heart. And as Pastor Jones made mention, if they do not receive with what you extend, then we lovingly, there is a heart prepared for you, especially for you, to extend the gospel, share your story, and follow up with them, and just meeting their need. Maybe just a listening ear, maybe just a prayer away, or maybe just a tender hug. And I'm a hugger, and God helped me understand why he gave me that little special gift to embrace somebody who may be hurting, struggling, or just needs to have a hug. And I tell you, I thank God for that little special gift. You have one too. So allow God to use you as a wise witness. I just want to thank you so much for being a blessing to this ministry, a faithful listener. And share this ministry with someone in your circle of influence. Maybe that person that God has given you to cross paths to be a witness to. Share this ministry. Share the link. Email it to them. Text them the link. Show them on Facebook. Take them there. Walk with them. And be a witness that they will come into the fold of Jesus Christ. And so that they will grow and go. This is called multiplication, discipleship. It multiplies like a beautiful seed germinating in the soil. We talked about that. So thank you again for being a witness, or for being a blessing to this ministry and hearing Pastor Jones, a wise witness. And we pray that you will be here next week. Bring someone with you to listen in. Remind them via text that it is going to be at 8 o'clock Central, and or they can log in or on the link, www.blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart-mft. And that's heart, the number 2, heart, M-F-T-H. That means mission from the heart. So I want to bring us to the end of our broadcast. And always remember that you are a light in a dark world. And we see so much going on in the world today, in these closing days of grace, that you stand up and be a witness to somebody. And always remember that the grass withers, the flowers fadeth, but the word of God stands forever. Thank you again for your faithfulness. Have a blessed week, and just give glory to God and lift up holy hands, glorifying him, praising him, and giving him all the honor and the glory. Thank you again for your faithfulness.